But thank you, Omar. Could y'all stand a second? This is Omar and Brooke Weingar. Thank you for sharing your story. Appreciate the vulnerability also, Omar. Omar, by the way, is half Pakistani, half American, and a couple of years ago, his Muslim father came to Christ. Omar led him to Christ, which was a huge yay, God. You know, his story really involves, being faithful to seek the Lord and serving and the place of where God's called you, and also a story of community, how that community rallied around them, loved them, and still living in community. Kind of along that note, I want to share another kind of a hard thing. It's a very hard thing. Friday night, we lost another little baby, 21-month-old. And completely inexplicable, and I had not been sick, just a virus that week. And it's just, life can be so hard, so hard. And some of us were over there yesterday morning praying with them, talking with them, listening to them. And it's amazing to me how many, as a pastor, I see this, how many parents have lost kids. It's more than you realize. And sometimes they're babies, and sometimes they're a little bit older. We're just going to pause a moment and pray for that family. I'm not going to say their names now. But Lord God, with all our hearts, Lord, this couple, young couple, have had their hearts ripped out of their chest, and they're not sure they can survive it. But we know that you will be with them and give them grace. And so, Lord God, please bring healing to the brokenhearted. With all our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, that group, too, they're involved. They're involved with a community group. Their community group was, as their son was battling for his life, they couldn't go to the room with the day of COVID, but they went to the parking lot during that time and just crying out for him. And we all need community for life. Okay. Well, this morning, we're going to take a one-week break from 2 Timothy. In order to have a family talk about spiritual gifts. This past week, we hosted the Pursuit Conference on our campus, had some pastors from around the nation here, had a lot of folks here, including some of you. We had incredible speakers with Jack Deere, Matt Chandler, Sam Storms. So many people were encouraged by, just felt like God was speaking to them during the week, and a number of folks received healings, even between services. I saw a couple in our church, Older Cover Church, who said, yep, our oldest daughter, too, and just God was at work. And so thank you for praying for the conference. If you've been praying for it, God answered our prayers big time. Now, if you're new to Wood's Edge, I just want to give you a little thought here that this is kind of be a family talk, more of a topical message, and that's not our normal Sunday. Our normal Sunday is to go verse by verse through books of the Bible. And the reason that I do that is because of this conviction is that preaching should not be based lightly on the Bible, but be rooted deeply in the Bible. We don't want to kind of touch on the Bible, read a passage, and then go off on our own, but rooted, saturated in the Scriptures. And that's why we normally do this way. But this morning, from time to time, we do a topical message rooted in the Scriptures. Now, our passage this morning, going to start with this passage, 1 Corinthians 12:1. Where God says this to us. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, if you're familiar with Paul's letter to the 1 Corinthians, he's answering questions, a series of questions. And about every two chapters, or every one chapter, he'll say something like this. Now, concerning this issue, and then he goes on. Now, concerning this issue, and in 1 Corinthians 12, he gets to his longest such section, three chapters, and he says, now, concerning the spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, that was God's word to the church at Corinth in the first century, and that is God's word to Wood's Edge Church in the 21st century, to every church. It's God's word. It's like God is saying to us this morning, now, concerning the spiritual gifts, church at Wood's Edge, I do not want you to be unaware. I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be misinformed. I want you to understand what I've given you with spiritual gifts. Now, it's interesting with Corinth, because Corinth is sort of known for the church that kind of messed up spiritual gifts the most. They had some things they were didn't understand and weren't prioritizing right and just kind of messing it up. But it's interesting, Paul doesn't say, now concerning spiritual gifts, hold everything. We got to pull everything to screeching halt. I've got to instruct you what to do, and then when I'm ready, you know, we can start trying this again. He doesn't say that. He just the solution to the abuse of the gifts or the misuse of the gifts is not the disuse of the gifts. It's not ignoring the gifts. It is the biblical expression of the gifts, the biblical the beliefs and the practice of the spiritual gifts. And so we want to also heed God's word to us concerning spiritual gifts. The Lord does not want us to be uninformed. Now, I realize that some of you have, you know, you thought, well, okay, Jeff, you brought in these speakers and we had a whole conference on it and you brought in Jack Deere a couple of times before. And you know, okay, that's good, but it's time to move on. And I understand that thought, and we'll get back to 2 Timothy next week. But I believe that we need to pause, and what is our perspective? What do I believe about spiritual gifts? What do we as a church believe? What is God's perspective, biblical perspective, about the spiritual gifts? Where are we headed with this? Will Sunday mornings change? Will Wednesday night change? Well, where are we headed when it comes to the gifts? Now, some of you have fears about the gifts. In fact, some of you are a little nervous right now by me introducing this topic. I just want to point this out. I can see it in your faces. Sorry. You can try to hide it from me. When I talk about sex or money, people get nervous. And people are a little bit nervous this morning. Some of you aren't, but some of you are. Some of you got some fears. And so for some good reason, some of you grew up in a church that kind of misused the gifts, had some goofiness and some weirdness, and you don't want to go back there. And I get that. I get that. I probably don't want to go back there either. Others of you, you grew up in a church that never mentioned the gifts, barely mentioned the Holy Spirit, and you know, you're fine with that. This just seems a little bit odd to you. All of us have seen some programs on TV or on YouTube that, man, that just seems weird, and you don't want that. So I understand that some of you got some nervousness about this. There's some fears about, okay, is this emotionalism? Is this fanaticism? You know, let's just be careful. So I recognize that there are some concerns about the gifts, but remember, Paul's response is not ignoring it or neglecting them, the misuse of gifts, but it is the biblical expression of the gifts. And what does the Bible say about them? So we're going to take one Sunday here this morning. Let me pause abnormal going right through books of the Bible and give perspective on these matters. Now let me begin with this. I've got three or four major sections of this. Here's the first one right here. At Wood's Edge, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We believe that this is God's Word written. We believe that this is our authority source. Not our church background, whatever it was, not my personality or my personal druthers, but the Bible, the Word of God. And it's not something like we just want to give lip service to and we'll basically believe it, but the things that we're really uncomfortable with, we'll throw those out and we'll focus on these over here. We don't get that option. We believe that this is God's Word, and we surrender to what God has for us in every way. We put our lives underneath the Word of God. We love the Scriptures. We believe in the Scriptures. We study the Scriptures. We want to obey the Scriptures. So that's why normally we go right through the books of the Bible, verse by verse. Okay, there are plenty of churches that are strong on the Word of God, but weak on the Spirit of God. There are other churches that are strong on the Spirit of God and weak on the Word of God. But what God wants is for a New Testament church to be strong on the Word of God and strong in the Spirit of God. We could call that the convergence of Word and Spirit. We want, with all of our hearts, to please the Lord, not with an either-or approach to Word and the Spirit, but a both-and approach. We want to be biblical. We want to be like a New Testament church as much as possible with all of our hearts. And if we believe, base our beliefs on the Bible, then we'll believe in all the spiritual gifts that God has given to His church. Now, when I finished college, I was a new Christian right before I went to college, went to Rice University, a secular school, big football power, by the way. After that, I began a four-year program at Dallas Theological Seminary, and I learned so much at Dallas, and I'm so grateful for Dallas. However, like every other ministry organization, Christian organization, or church, none of them are perfect, and Dallas Seminary wasn't perfect, and one of the things that they lacked was a biblical emphasis on the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. At that time, there was a widespread belief at Dallas Seminary that the miraculous gifts, such as healing, prophecy, tongues, had ceased in the first century when the Bible was completed. And that view is called cessationism, from the word for cease. That when the Bible was completed in the first century, that the miraculous gift ceased. I never found those cessationist arguments to be very persuasive, and still don't. They're not. However, I did not do much about the fact that all those gifts apply for today. I didn't do anything to pursue them, to study them, to learn about them. And so I could say in some ways that I was I did not believe in cessationism, but was kind of a functional cessationist. Didn't affect my life too much. Now, that's despite the fact that all through the Scriptures we see the supernatural and the gifts of the Spirit operating. Now, I began this message by reading the very first verse in 1 Corinthians 12, which says, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be unaware." The very last verse of that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 12:31, says this, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts." Now, in the context, Paul does not define what exactly are the higher gifts, but the whole section is emphasizing prophecy, because they've been neglecting prophecy, making a bigger deal of tongues than prophecy, and he's really making the point that prophecy particularly, and so it's certainly going to include prophecy, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, the higher gifts. Now, let me just remind you, he doesn't in a nonchalant way say, okay, desire the spiritual gifts. That's not what he says. He says, earnestly desire, pursue, chase after the spiritual gifts, especially the higher gifts. And then we have 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter, the greatest chapter on love in all the Bible and all the literature. And then the very first verse after that, he comes back to his point in 14:1, when he again says, he says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Now, here he is explicit that he's talking about prophecy, especially that you may prophesy. But pursue love, 1 Corinthians 13, and not desire, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. You know, he's emphatic, he's strong. Now, why is it that Christians, so many of them, kind of ignore those verses? Why is it that so many Christians just ignore them or downright disobey them? They don't ignore 1 Corinthians 13 on love, and they shouldn't, greatest passage on love, but why the command, explicit, emphatic, right before and after, do we think that they don't apply to us? You know, we wouldn't do that with other commands. We don't see the passage, flee immorality. We don't see, you know, don't love money. We don't see the passage about, you know, forgive those and say, you know, I don't like that one so much. I think I'm going to take a pass on that one. We don't do that because we want to please the Lord. But here's in black and white, and so many Christians ignore it or outright disobey it. If I were asked, Jeff, how do you know that all those gifts are valid today? You know, I've kind of heard this teaching and that teaching. By the way, that teaching is on its way out. I don't hardly know any pastors today that are cessationists. I'm sure they're out there, but they're on their way out. It's just an untenable view. If you follow the Scriptures, more and more churches, more and more Christians are dissatisfied with the theoretical head knowledge. They want the Word of God and the Spirit of God. They don't want to be like 1 Timothy 3:5, that, you know, or 2 Timothy 3:5, you know, hold to a form of godliness but ignore the power of it. We want to be biblical in every way, including some of the passages that maybe weren't talked about in my background. But the issue is not what does my background teach or what do my personalities teach, but what does God say? What does the Word of God say? You know, why do I believe in the gifts? I read my Bible. It's all through the Bible. You know, if you start back with the signs and wonders, healings and miracles, from Genesis to Revelation, all through there, nowhere more so than the Gospels, the four Gospels and the life of Jesus, do you see it. But the second most often place where we're going to see it is in the early church, the book of Acts. I mean, you go from the four Gospels, the Holy Spirit is poured out in Acts 2, and all through the book, you've got healings and prophecies and signs and wonders in the early church. It's part of the book that God is saying, this is what the kind of church I want for you. We've got the supernatural, signs and wonders. And then you've got the epistles, the letters in the New Testament, and we've got major passages like Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4 and 2 Timothy 1 that we just came through has three references in the first chapter to spiritual gifts. And then especially 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 4, 12 through 14 are dealing with spiritual gifts. And he begins that passage by saying, you know, I don't want you to be unaware about spiritual gifts. You know, kind of giving emphasis to it. So, it's all through the Bible, and we want to be Bible-based, not in theory or in word, but in actual practice. And so, what does God have for us when it comes to the spiritual gifts? If we base our beliefs on the Bible, not just in theory, then we'll believe in all the gifts and that they're important. So, if God says very clearly to earnestly desire spiritual gifts, to what extent are you obeying that? To what extent would you say that you're obeying that? Now, it seems to me the bare minimum to obey that is at least pray about them. If you've never prayed about the gifts, or I'd say if you're not praying now about the spiritual gifts, to what degree are you earnestly desiring? Because if you desire something, pray for it if you're a believer. So what are you praying about? The gifts. You could be praying. I have gifts of leadership and teaching. I could be praying, and I do pray, Lord God, I need your anointing. I need your wisdom. I just pray about more of those gifts. There are also several gifts that I'm praying for that I don't have. And so maybe it looks like that. But there ought to be some praying about the gifts if you're obeying the Bible. There could be other things besides prayer. You could read books. You know, some of those speakers that came here, they write books. You could listen to a message like this one. You could study the passages in the Bible. Those kind of things. But we want to pursue what God has given us. Now, let me just back up a bit and talk about a little bit about our story as a church. Gail and I were part of starting this church 28 years ago, next month. And this was my background as growing up, kind of a nominal background, but Southern Baptist background. And Southern Baptist didn't talk much about the spiritual gifts, and I knew nothing about them. When I came to Christ, which was right after high school, before college, I came to Christ, went to Rice University, a secular school, as a new Christian, get involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU, and at the time, CRU also was cessationist. And so I'm just not hearing anything about spiritual gifts. Then after 4 years, I go to Dallas Seminary. And again, I've already mentioned to you, you know, they weren't talking about the gifts. I appreciate all three of those organizations and ministries. There's a lot of good things about all three of them. God bless them. But they weren't teaching us how to obey these passages about earnestly desire the gifts, spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. But as I said earlier, I did not find the cessationist arguments persuasive whatsoever. But I didn't do really anything about the fact that I believed in the gifts. I was sort of a practical cessationist. So we started the church in 1993, and I believed in all the gifts. But just didn't say much about them. And then about 5 years later, we had an elder, Don Sola. He's a godly, godly man. And he hands me a book by Jack Deere. Surprised by the power of the Spirit, said, Jeff, I'd recommend you read this. And because of my respect for for Don, I read the book. It's ironic because I knew the author at seminary. He taught me Hebrew some, and I'd known about it, but I'd never read his book. I read the book, and I needed to read it by somebody like Jack Deere because Jack is a marvelous scholar, an incredible exegete, and he made an airtight case for all the gifts of the Spirit. Whoa, how can somebody read that book with an open mind and not believe in all the gifts of the Spirit, that God's doing those things? And it's one of the two or three life-changing books for me. But I still didn't know what to do with it, where to go with it. A couple of years later, he gives me a book by Jim Cimbala about prayer, how the New Testament church, man, they really prioritized prayer, that was kind of the main thing, that was the lifeblood. And I did kind of know what to do with that. And so we began pressing into prayer, which goes with spiritual gifts. In August of 2002, our church intentionally decided we're going to become a house of prayer by God's grace. We're going to try to look like the New Testament when it comes to prayer. So that fall, August of 2002, we began a weekly prayer service. Some of you, not many of you, were around back then. And the first semester, the first 3 months, we had a couple of dramatic healings. One involved a band director over at Oak Ridge High School, a youngish man by the name of Glenn. And he had lung cancer. He wasn't a smoker. And we were praying and praying and praying, oh God, heal Glenn of this lung cancer. And one day he went in for one of his checkups and the doctor couldn't find the lung cancer. And he looked for an hour. Where is that lung cancer? Couldn't find anything, and he's never found it. God healed Glenn of the lung cancer. And then, yay God, a while back. And then one of the leaders in our church, one of the dear women in our church, she had a nodule on her breast. She'd actually kind of glanced back at the x-ray and seen it on the x-ray. But the next checkup she went to, it was gone also. No nodule and never treated for it. So I think God, that first semester, was just really encouraging us. I still answer prayers. I am the God who heals. I don't always heal like you want when you want, but I heal people. And we had a number of healings this past week. I am a prayer-hearing God. I am a miracle-working God. I think God just was encouraging us, you know, in our fledgling pursuit. Now, at this point, we've been praying for healings for since 2002, 20 years. No big deal, nothing new. But we need to do some coaching about more what to do because we didn't really know. I don't know why I didn't invite Jack Deere because I read Jack's other books. I loved his books. I kind of knew him at seminary. I kind of had an opening, but I never invited him. I wonder, just being honest with you, I wonder if I had some fear that maybe you know, bring some changes. Well, that's not a good reason, is it? You want to follow the Bible and not your fears. I had a young pastor in the city that I really liked, Taylor Renz, and he got to know Jack. He was around Jack a little bit at a conference, and he came back and he sent me Jack's phone number and said, "Jeff, you need to get Jack Deere to Houston. Call him." I think I called him that afternoon, and we had a warm conversation. He remembered me; I remembered him, of course, and we agreed that he'd come to Woods Edge, and that happened. It was delayed because of COVID, but it happened about a year ago. Jack Deere came here. And when Jack came here and started talking about the gifts and what God's done, the biblical arguments, a lot of us just felt, you know, a hunger to experience all that God had when it came to operating in the gifts. We don't want to be just kind of a miss out on anything that God's doing, including a lot with the spiritual gifts. 6 months later, this past May, just 3 or 4 months ago, we had Jack in here also. And during that time, Jack and I were on a national radio broadcast. It's called Remnant Radio, but it's not a radio show. It's a podcast. We were on that show. And during the show, God put it on my heart pretty clearly, "Jeff, there are so many pastors like you. All the pastors you know believe in the gifts. I'm sure there's some cessationist pastors still out there, but they're disappearing. And there's not that many of them anymore. But all the pastors you know, they believe in the gifts, but 95% of them are like you. They're not doing much. They don't know what to do. Why don't you host a conference and for pastors in this?" And God put that on my heart during that show. I think I asked Jack on the show, "Will you come and help us on this?" He said, "Yeah, he would." So we began preparing for this past October conference just last week. Now, one thing that happened is that a few months later in July, I'm meanwhile on the West Coast on my 6-week sabbatical, and Jack invites Sam Storms, whom he had discipled, and Matt Chandler, who's one of the great preachers in America, whom Jack and Sam had discipled, and with only a few months' notice, they agreed to come. You know, that's kind of unusual. You know, they had busy schedules. They speak all the time, all over. Last week, they both left our conference to go to another conference, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast. But in the providence of God, they were both available and both willing to come do our conference last week. That was of God. And we host the conference. And that brings us up to the present time. So that's our journey. We've always believed in the gifts. Much of the time, haven't done much about it. We've always prayed for healings, but we want to be fully biblical when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit and everything else. Now, with all of that, let me raise four questions in closing. Let me just ask four questions and give you my responses, my answers. Here's the first question. Jeff, where do we go from here? Where are we headed as a church? We don't know. I don't know. God knows. That's a good place to be in. We're not in control. We're a little bit like Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. Remember Jehoshaphat, his vast army? You know, I don't have the power to do anything. I don't know what to do, but God, my eyes are on you. That's the way we are. We don't have any power to do anything here. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. It's good for guys like me to give up control, to not be in control. For long-time control freaks. And that's good. That's really good. And you know, I'm not scared of that. I hope you're not. I'm not afraid of the Holy Spirit. I'm not afraid of the Father, and I'm not afraid of the Son, and I'm not afraid of the Holy Spirit. I want more of the Holy Spirit. I need more of the Holy Spirit. He's God, and He is my God. And we are going to look to Him as elders. It's not a one-man show around here. We got a team of elders. In fact, we got a sub-team really been pressing in to giving some guidance about the gifts. And we're just going to trust that God will guide us. Now, let me warn you, because there's most of you here are going to fall on one side or the other, that some of you are going to think I'm going to move too slow, and some of you are going to think I'm going to move too fast. No, nobody's going to be probably just say, Jeff, you got it exactly right here. So there's probably not going to be many of those. I welcome you if you are. But some of you are thinking, Jeff, we're going too fast here. And others are going to be thinking, Jeff, we're going too slow here. And you know, we're just going to seek the Lord. You know, God has put me as the pastor here, put the elders in charge. And you know, none of us have all the answers, but we are going to follow Jesus Christ the best we can. So go with us on that. That's the first question. Second question. Will spiritual gifts become the main emphasis of our church? No. No. Jesus teaches us the main emphasis to love God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Do you know our threefold mission is love Jesus, journey together, and bring hope? And we start with loving Jesus because that is the main thing. And I am an incurable addict about the love of God and wanting to love Him back and wanting all of us and everything else, the spiritual life flows from that. We're going to keep focusing on loving Jesus. And the second command, loving your neighbor as yourself, that's next, and that's reflected in our second mission statement, journey together in love. And then there's the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. We put it, bring hope to the world. We're going to still focus on the Great Commandments and the Great Commission. But because we love Jesus, we want to be fully biblical and obedient in everything He says, including earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And I call us all to be biblical and obedient and to love the Lord when it comes to these things. Okay, one more question, final question. Jeff, what are a few principles and guidelines about these gifts? Well, whatever is done did I skip a question? I did. Okay, here, let's go back. How will our Sunday services change? I think very little, if any, because gifts are usually in personal, interpersonal relationships and small groups, not Sunday morning, where you've got, you know, several thousand people around is the best place. We're going to mostly Sunday morning. And you might think, well, Jeff, what about healings? What if people need to be healed on Sunday morning? Well, every Sunday morning, just like every Wednesday night, we pray for healings. We've got prayer partners that come up here after every service. We pray for any need, healings. Every week we're doing that. Marriages, jobs, neighbors, lost people, just whatever the need is, including healings. You might think also, well, Jeff, what if somebody has a prophetic word on a Sunday morning? Well, if somebody has a word of prophecy on a Sunday morning, we're going to do what the Bible tells us to do, and that is test the prophecy. And probably we'll do it this way. There'll probably be an elder or two over sitting near me. And we'd ask you to write it out and give it to those elders. And they would, they've got to decide if you're going to be biblical, you test the prophets. Because just like I'm not perfect as a preacher, no prophet is perfect. No, nobody in any gift is perfect. And so the Bible calls us to test this. Is this from God? And so they'll read it. And really got to evaluate three things. One, is this from the Lord? Secondly, is this for the entire church? Because just about all prophecies are for individuals. But is this for the entire church? And is it for the entire church this morning? And if they believe it is, they'll probably give it to me. And if I agree, I'll read it. I'll read it. Something like that. The prophetic is mostly for individuals. And the best place to express these are in our community groups, small groups, where we all can learn more about the gifts. Fourthly, final question, what are a few principles and guidelines about the gifts? Well, whatever is done, we want to do it in a biblical manner. You know, that very end of that 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 passage, verse 40 says this. It says, "Do but all things should be done decently and in order." And we'll seek to do that. We're going to follow the Bible guidelines, and there's several specific guidelines in that. And we want to follow biblical guidelines for the release and the empowerment of the gifts, as well as for the use of them. We are not afraid, as I said earlier, of surrendering control to the Holy Spirit. That is the best place to have control. And we're not afraid of how He's going to lead us. He is the perfect Lord and God. Now, many of you do not know what your spiritual gifts are, because that's just so common. Because many of you are like me, you came from a background that just hardly said anything about the spiritual gifts. And even cessationist churches, have some limited attention. What if you don't know what your spiritual gift is? What should you do? Well, one thing you could do is you could take a spiritual gift inventory test and maybe find out. And some folks recommend that, and that might be helpful for you. If so, great. You can get those online. I don't personally recommend that as much as other things. I recommend that you really just seek the Lord and pray. Lord God, I'm just really going to seek you for a time. Lord, what is my gift, or what are my gifts? What do I need to do about it? And I encourage you, include in that people who know you very well, maybe your community group, your spouse, others. What do you think? Would you pray with me about this? What have you been good at? What are you drawn to? What do you have a passion for? Where has God used you? And then at some point, you just need to get involved serving the Lord somewhere. And Omar doesn't know if that's going to be his final stage. He may be full-time ministry as a pastor one day, but he is in the game. He is right now shepherding, pastoring that community group. Find some place to get involved and serve. Now think about it this way, church. Okay, what if God gave you a gift that would have brought great joy to you and great help to others, but you never opened it? What if you get to heaven one day and said, I gave you this incredible gift and you never used it? You never sought me about it at all. And you missed out on so much, and all those people that you could have helped, you said, what if we were a cessationist church and we never prayed for healing? We might occasionally pray, God, the doctor, that kind of thing. But we never really prayed for healing. What if we were a church like that? And what if in 50 years, all that church gets to heaven, and it turns out that there were 45 people during that time with the gift of healing in that church? And there were hundreds of people who could have gotten healed if that church would have been believing in the gift of healing. I mean, we're talking about back pains could have been healed, diabetes, cancer. I mean, brought incredible joy and love to so many people and their families. But we found out we never prayed. We never believed and pursued, earnestly desired the gifts. How much we would have missed out. Church, we don't want to miss out on anything God has for us, do we? God is good, and He gives us gifts for our good and for the good of one another. The ultimate reason that we want to price the gifts is because we love people, and they're for our good. I mean, guys, I can tell you, people around here get healed, they are so excited about it. They're so thrilled and grateful. It is an act of love to pray for healing and for every single one of the other gifts. And so we want to press in to all that God has for us earnestly. Desire the gifts. Stand with me, please. Lord, I thank you for this congregation. They want to please you. They want to obey your word. Lord, we need help. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance. We need your grace. Lord, this is your church, not my church, not the elder's church, not the pastor's church here. This is yours. We want to please you. Oh, God, do more of the supernatural, Lord. Stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders for the glory of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would help every single one of us to find out how you have gifted us and to live in light of that gift, whether or not it's a gift of healing or a gift of helps. Whatever it is, it's for our good and for our joy. Lord, we trust you to lead us as a good shepherd. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.